We thank you for listening to the weekly sermon of First United Methodist Church, Missouri City, Texas. We're a church that's making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For more information about the church and its ministries, or how we can pray for you, visit us on the web at fumcmc.org. If you desire to make a quick contribution in support of our ministries, you can text to give. Simply text the amount you want to give to 281-369-4870 and follow the instructions. And now, as you listen, we hope that you find this podcast meaningful and transformational in your journey of faith.
So, we're in this new series, and it's called No Minor Characters. You guys got to start giving more money, because I'm told that's why the air conditioning isn't working. I don't know. But I have just been sweating. It's cold? Wow. I'm like just going to faint. It's called No Minor Characters, and today we're going to talk about this guy who's mentioned twice in the Bible, same verse, by the way, or so. And his name is, how did you pronounce it? Uzzah? Okay, it's Uzzah. It can be Uzzah. Either way is acceptable, but I'm going to try to go with Uzzah because I don't want to make Martha look bad. Were those some bad? I mean, that was horrible to have to read. Yeah, were they not the worst? I'm going to make you do the genealogy next. But it is bad. It's hard words. But this guy Uzzah is mentioned twice, and that's it. But I want to preach on him, because years ago when I was in Van, Texas, and I think most of you might know where Van is by now. It's a little East Texas town, 1,700 people. And that may not be big to you, but I went from Bullard, 800 people, to 1,700 people. I thought, man, I've just doubled the size of my town in one move. And I couldn't wait to move from Van, thinking, well, my next one's going to be 3,400. And lo and behold, it was Beaumont. I mean, wow, I just moved up, and now Missouri, I'm just like rocking. But at the time, I was working with Keith Jenkins. He was my partner in crime in working with sermons. Now, Keith has been here a few times. And Keith and I had this routine. We would meet for lunch. We'd work on sermon, the basic idea. And then we would each write our own sermons the way we wanted to write them. And they would be maybe the same idea, but they would be totally different. And the lectionary came around, and this was the text. Samuel, 2 Samuel. Verses, chapter 6, 1 through 7. Actually, 1 through 11. And I didn't want to preach it. I wanted to preach the gospel. But Keith said, no, this will be great, because it's such a bizarre story, and no one in the church has ever heard of Uzzah. No one's heard of him. And so it'll be a great time to teach them about it. And so I did, and I stood up in that pulpit in Van, Texas, and I began to preach this story. And the people of Van, bless their hearts, because they were patient, they were loving, they were graceful, and they were tortured a lot. And on that sermon, I tried to go through it the best that I could. I explained everything about the ark that I knew, right? Detail by detail. Because I couldn't just show a picture, because there was no screens. Now I can, there's the ark. And I could tell you what the ark is. The ark for the Jewish faith was the most important symbol that they had. They believed with all their heart that God actually resided in the ark. And so the ark represented the power and the presence of God. And for 20 years, this ark was lost. No one knew really where it was, but they kind of knew, but they just left it there. David gets on the throne, and David says, you know, in order to validate my kingship, I need to get the ark. And so they decide one day to bring the ark back in Jerusalem. Now, here's the catch. When God gave the rules for the ark, he was very clear how the ark was supposed to be carried. It was supposed to be carried on two poles on the shoulders of the priest. And it was to be walked in. But for whatever reason, maybe they forgot it, maybe they were lazy, maybe they couldn't find the priest, I don't know. David decided that on that day, instead of putting it on poles carried by priests, he would put it on a cart being pulled by oxen, more than one ox, right? And I could tell that the people were mildly not interested in all of that, kind of like some of you now, and they just want to get to the Uzzah part. They want to know what happened to Uzzah. Why was he struck dead, right? And so I'm trying to describe the scene. I even put a little Hebrew on them. Because in the verses that Martha read, it says this. It says, the oxen moved, right? You know in Hebrew what it really said? I'm going to try to be as polite and politically correct as I can. They went number two. That's the true Hebrew. Google it if you don't believe me. Is Barbara here? Maggie, did you do Hebrew? Am I right? Reverend Young, am I right? They went number two. And when they went number two, the cart, which was behind them, hit the stuff and slid, and the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the Almighty God, creator of the universe, right, started to tip. And was going to fall in. And Uzzah simply reached up to steady the ark. And he was smited, whichever way you want to say it. He was dead. And in an attempt to bring a little humor, I said, no, mine was better. I said, you know, sometimes it happens. And it wasn't good enough. And I guess because the way I described it, there were people in the congregation who thought the reason why Uzzah was killed was because he broke the rules. That's not what I said. There was other people who thought that the reason why Uzzah was killed, because he must have not been ritually clean. He hadn't washed himself properly. It's not what I said. What I told the people that day was that our God is a God who can't be taken lightly. And when we approach God, he is so holy, we better not take it for granted, and we better not do it casually or else. That's what I said. Now, working with Keith on the sermon, Keith, who he's much smarter than I am, don't tell him I said that, and I should have known because his book, God Explains It All, is the basic of his theology. Some of you have read it. Keith wanted me to tell you that if you haven't, you can buy it on Amazon. It's on sale. I get no commission. But Keith said, Marty, that's not the right angle. That's not the way to preach that. And me, I went to Perkins. I had a better preaching professor. He went to Duke. What did he know? Right? Because I did it my way. And I proceeded to end my sermon with a long list of don'ts. And I think I probably even waved my finger at the van congregation. Don't get too casual with God and forget just how holy he is. Don't forget God is in charge, not us. Don't forget that God didn't give us suggestions, he gave us commandments. And he means for us to take them seriously, not just the ones we like, choosing which ones we're going to follow, which ones we won't. Our God, I preached and concluded the sermon, our God is a God who gets angry and has the right and freedom to get angry. And when he does, He can do what he wants, and he can zap us, smote us, smite us, knock us down. And that's how I ended the sermon. Boom, done, mic drop, sing the song, have the benediction, move on. Now, I have been waiting for years to apologize to the Van United Methodist Church for that Sunday. If anyone was there that's here this morning, was in that congregation, I am sorry. And I've been waiting for a series where I could have a do-over. It's not because I was wrong. In the Jewish world, that's how they thought. When they wrote that, they believed it. They believed that if something good happens, who would get the credit? Okay, wait now. When a preacher asks a question in church, you can yell out God or Jesus, and you got a 50-50 shot of getting it right. If the preacher is talking about the Jewish faith, don't yell out Jesus. It gives you only one answer, God. You have a 75% chance of getting it correct. With me? Let's try again. And you guys are making me work. It's late. In the Jewish faith, in the Jewish mind, in those days, when something good happened, who got the credit? When something bad happened, who got blamed? So what they should know, that was a lot less enthusiastic. But that's how they thought. When something bad happens, it was God who caused it. So obviously in their mind, Uzzah did something wrong to get struck down, to be dead, and it was God who struck him. And that's what I preached. And I've been waiting for a do-over. Because when I preached it, I was young, I was naive, I was dumb. And I preached it before I really understood what it meant to be a pastor. I preached it before I fully got what it meant to sit with someone in their darkest times, to be with someone in their most painful moments, and their most desperate hours. See, I preached that sermon when I didn't really know what it meant to hold a hand of someone as the doctor came in and gave them the news they really didn't want to hear. I preached that sermon when I didn't grasp the depth of the pain and grief someone would feel when they stood by the grave of a loved one. And I said the words, dust to dust, ashes to ashes, earth to earth. I preached that sermon before I ever had anyone come sit in my office with tears running down his cheek, saying we can't give to the church anymore because I don't have enough money to pay my bills. You see, I lost my job and I haven't told anyone because I'm too embarrassed. And I preached that sermon long before I had a wife sit in my office and tell me that she didn't know what she was going to do because the drinking that almost destroyed their marriage years ago, well, her husband was drinking again. I preached that sermon when I was young, naive, and dumb, and I didn't know when not to answer the question, why did God let this happen to me? How could God do this to me? See, when I preached the sermon, I told them that story, the story from the Jewish mind, not my story, not our story. And now when I read it as a pastor who has held the hands, who has wiped away the tears, who has sat in silence with families who have heard the question, why, how, what is God doing? And now I'm smart enough, seasoned enough to know when not to answer. And I read it and I think, if I would have been Uzzah's mom's pastor, what would I have said? If he was married and had children, what would I say to the wife? What would I say to the kids? What would I say to his friends? I mean, seriously, would I really say to them that this is all part of God's plan and that there's a reason for everything to happen? Really? Would I really just hold their hand and as they stood at the grave, as they bury their son, their husband, their dad, their friend, would I really say to them, well, you know, he's in a better place now? Or would I say to them, you know, God must have needed another angel? That's why when it comes to God, anger and the ark and Uzzah, I've been wanting a do-over because many years ago when I preached it, I was a preacher. I was trying to be a theologian. I was trying to be a scholar. I picked the passage apart in Hebrew and I explained every single part and I focused on those 11 verses. But what I left out was our story. Look, I still believe God is in charge, not us. I still believe that we can't take God casually or approach him lightly. I still believe in the holiness of God, that God is truly holy. But what I preached that day was their story, not our story. And it surely wasn't the gospel. Because, see, our story is about a God who isn't contained in some box. Our story is about a God who became flesh and lived among us. Our story isn't about a God who is just waiting for us to mess up, who's just standing there with lightning bolts in his hands, ready to smitten us when we do the wrong thing. Our God is what's found in Luke 15, that when the prodigal comes home, it is our God who runs to us and embraces us. See, our story isn't about a God who doesn't want to be touched by us. Our story is about a God who yearns and longs for us to get close enough to touch him so that he'll be close enough so he can whisper to us those words we know. There is nothing we can do, nothing that will ever make me love you less. That's our story. Look, I have not a bone in my body that believes God causes suffering. I would say to the family of Uzzah, it wasn't to teach you a lesson. It wasn't because he needed an angel in heaven. It wasn't because he broke the rule. I would say, I don't know. But I know this. This is what I would tell them. I know that when we cry, God cries. When we're brokenhearted, God is brokenhearted, and that our God is a God who comforts us. Our God is a God who holds us. Our God is a God who reaches out for us and offers us hope and offers us grace and offers us love. I would tell him that there are some things I don't know, but that our God is the perfect parent. And I don't know about how you parent, but if my Connor and Zach, no matter how old they get, are ever afraid, are ever alone, are ever stressed or filled with anxiety, if they ever need anything, I'm a pretty imperfect dad, but I'm going to be there for them and do what I can to comfort them and to assure them. And Jesus says, Our God is the perfect parent. And if I'm going to do that, imagine how much better of a parent God is. So I would say to their family, I don't know why he died, but I know this. I know that it is God who is wiping away your tears. And I know that Uzzah is now in the loving arms of a graceful and loving God. I would have to say to him, you know, things happen in life sometimes that we can't explain. It just happens. Because that's life sometimes. But then I would say, but we have a God who promises that I will never leave you or forsake you, that I will be with you to the very end of the days, because that's who God is all the time. So Uzzah may be a minor character in the Bible. We read about him in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. That's it. But when I read them, I'm reminded I have a God who is always with me in good and in bad, in dark times as well as the good times. Look, next time Keith is here, don't tell him I said this, but I should have listened to him that many years ago. Because in that poor church in Van, would have heard our story, would have heard the gospel. Because that's what I believe. And that's what I know. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So with that, would you receive the benediction? And now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, go from this place. And may the peace and the love and the grace of God go with you. May you know, may you remember, may you never forget that there is nothing you can do, nothing, that will ever make God love you less. Because when God sees us, he doesn't see the mistakes that we make. He simply says, wow. You are nothing but the best of the best of the best. And can you imagine what your day would be like if you lived it believing that? You'd have a pretty good day. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you next week.